Welcome to the Spirit of Faith broadcast, ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to help the hurting, heal the wounded, and set the captives free. Now let's join Bible teacher Jim Howard for today's message from the Word of God.
I was already saved, but I went to the altar one Sunday and made a new commitment of my life to the Lord. And somebody told me that day, said, "You're going to find yourself going around saying something you didn't used to say much." I said, "What is that?" They said, "You're going to find yourself going around saying, 'Thank you, Jesus.'" That prophecy was true. Let's look at in John chapter 16. We're still teaching some things concerning the Holy Spirit and the believer. In John chapter 16, many of these scriptures I've used through this teaching, but I like to go back and use the same ones and keep weaving them together and dig a little deeper in God's storehouse. But in John 16, verse 5, Jesus said, "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, 'Whither goest thou?' But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away." That means, of course, it's better for you that I leave, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back here, and you're really better off with him here than you were with me here physically. And he said, "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So we see when Jesus left and went to heaven, the mission was then to send the Holy Spirit back to earth to dwell in the believer and to empower us. And then I want you to look in verse 14 of that same chapter. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you." So I tell you, the Holy Spirit, he is the agent of God that's here present on earth with us right now. When Jesus went back to heaven, he sits at the right hand of the Father to ever make intercession for us until he returns in the clouds of glory for the rapture of the church. And then he'll come back after the tribulation and set up his kingdom here on this earth. But for right now, the Holy Spirit is the agent of God, or the part of God that's here on earth. And so he's dealing with us in our life. But you know, the Holy Spirit, his nature is that he doesn't want to call attention to himself. He always focuses the attention on Jesus. But it says in verse 15, well, verse 14 says, "He shall receive of mine and show it to you." And verse 15 says, "All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore he shall take of mine and shall show it to you." So when the Holy Spirit does something for us, I tell you, I like those songs we just got through during the worship time. And Joel and I didn't confer about what songs he selected. We just let the Lord work that out. But most of them had to do with something about thanking the Lord for something he was doing. And so when the Holy Spirit does something in our lives today, I tell you, what's supposed to come out of your mouth is, "Thank you, Jesus." And I'm not against focusing some attention on the Spirit of God, because we're doing that in this teaching. But everything belongs to Jesus, because the Father's given it all to him. And so then the Holy Spirit more or less just does the delivering. And so if I would get somebody, you know, if I would get my delivery agent Al, and if I was the only one in the room had any money, I don't think I am, but if I was the only one in the room, if I had a corner on the money market and I had all the money belonged to me, and I'd say, "Al, take some," and we all knew that, and I'd say, "Al, here, take this piece of money back and give it to Chubb," and Chubb would say, he wouldn't get to having a fit over Al. Now, he'd be glad he brought it, but he'd say, "Thank you, Jim." Well, Jesus said, "Everything the Father has is mine, and the Holy Spirit will take what's mine and show it to you." Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4, this is a scripture we hadn't really dealt with in this study. I've looked at it in other things. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 8 says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, And don't you remember, I just read it to you out of John chapter 16. Jesus said, when I ascend up on high, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost down. And it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And then we go on down to verse 11. Of course, we know from John chapter 16 what the gift, the whole package that he gave was the Holy Spirit to come and then could take anything that is Jesus and bring it to us. And so he gave gifts unto men. And we go down to verse 11 because 9 and 10 are just a parenthetical statement. We can look at it some other time. It says he gave, it tells the gifts he's talking about he gave. And it said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And so these are gifts that the Holy Ghost brings to the church. They're gifts from Jesus, ultimately from the Father, but he's given everything to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit brings these to the church. And there's two ways that this is actually a gift, because if somebody is in this ministry office, then that is a gift that has been given to them to teach, to pastor, to be a prophet, to be an apostle, to be an evangelist. And see, you can do these things without the gift. A lot of people try to do it. It doesn't produce much results. But somebody can pastor without the gift of being a pastor, but it won't amount to much. Or somebody can teach without the gift of teaching. In other words, sometimes people just make up their own mind. I remember there's a fellow that used to be on PTL a long time ago, and he was the man that got the leader over there in a lot of trouble, actually. And I've heard him say out of his own mouth, he said, some are called and some are sent. I just went. And so in other words, he didn't need God to call him. He just decided to go and do some certain things. And he would, and this particular man, well, his name was, what was it? Was it John Wesley Fletcher? I've seen him minister, and I'll tell you what, he appeared to operate in the gift of a word of knowledge real much, a whole lot. And he would call up people, but you didn't have to sit there and watch, but just a little bit. He always had words of knowledge during the offering. That's when he always had them. And he would say, now who can bring up $10? And so some people would start coming and they'd get about a $10 prophecy over them. Well, who can bring $100? They'd get a $100 prophecy. Folks sitting out in their seats that didn't come up and bring anything didn't get no prophecy. And I'll tell you, the man raised a lot of money because he would tell people about them things about themselves. He'd tell them about what they had in their billfold. He would tell them their telephone number. And you know what? I don't think the Holy Ghost is much interested in sharing that kind of information with us. And of course, wound up, he was the very man. Of course, he's dead now, otherwise I wouldn't be talking about him in public. But he's the very man that brought Jessica Hahn to Jim Baker. I tell you what, when you get tied up with people that do squirrely things, you're liable to get in squirrely trouble. And so you can do these things without the gift being there. But see, these gifts are also a gift to the church because you receive the teaching gift. You receive the gift of the pastor. He gave gifts to men. I'm tying this into when he gave the Holy Spirit, because these gifts are manifestations of the Holy Spirit working through people. And that's the way God intends to run the church. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and the believer. You can't operate in these offices really to any effect without the Spirit of God anointing you and calling you to do it. And the gifts and the calling of God, the Bible says, are without repentance. And the gifts and the calling of God go together. And when God calls you, He'll gift you or anoint you to do what He's called you to do. You won't need to turn to this scripture, but, well, you just as well, because I want to go to the book of Acts anyway. Go to Acts chapter 2, because I got two other scriptures to look at in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, I'm not going to read about the day of Pentecost right at the moment. But in Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching his sermon, and over in verse 38, verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a gift. Now I've mentioned that down through three scriptures so far. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 10. And this word for gift sometimes the word gift, when it, like when it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the word there is charisma. And charis is the word for grace. And when you put the M-A on the end of a Greek word, it means the carrying out of whatever that first word was. And so the charisma, the gifts of the Spirit, is the working out of the grace of God. It's the workings of the grace of God. They're gifts of grace. Now, grace means you don't deserve it. I'll tell you something else. Gift means you don't deserve it. Another Greek word is used in a lot of these places for gift, but it means a gratuity. It means something you hadn't earned, you don't deserve. And so God doesn't, just like the fivefold ministry gifts, God doesn't pick people that because he decided they deserve it because they've been such wonderful Christians and lived such a perfect life. And it's that way with all of God's gifts. That's why he calls it a gift. Because thank God he doesn't give to us just based on merit. He gives to us, it's his business who he wants to call to do things. And that's why a lot of times you'll see people that have a strong anointing to do certain things, even in ministry, and you don't think they deserve it. Because, you know, you watch certain things, but that's God's business. That's why he calls it a gift. He said in Acts 2:38, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then we're in Acts chapter 10. Peter's in the household of Cornelius in verse 45. It says, and they, verse 44 says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then down in chapter 11, Peter's having to explain to the church leaders why he happened to let these Gentiles get saved and baptized them. And in verse 17 of chapter 11, he said, for as much then, let me back up. Verse 15, he's telling them, he said, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Now, on us at the beginning was Acts chapter 2, verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. He said in verse 16, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? So Peter said, I'm just preaching to these people, and God filled them with the Holy Ghost. What am I going to do? Tell them they can't have it? Because they're not qualified? See, it's a gift. I mean, even these Gentiles, they hadn't been baptized yet. Some people think if you don't get baptized in water just right and say the right words over you, you can't get the Holy Spirit. No, those people in that particular situation hadn't even been baptized yet. Peter then said that you need to get baptized in water. They'd already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He wanted to make the package complete. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's something else about gifts, and you'll know what it is as you're turning to it. 1 Corinthians 12, and it says, of course, in 1 Corinthians 12, in the first verse, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now that word gifts in the King James is in italics. It means it wasn't in the original translation, but if you get on down into the chapter, that's what it's talking about, is the gifts of the Spirit, and it names them. And so the translators just put gifts in there it would have just said, now concerning spiritual matters. But he was talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I've been kind of touched on them here as we've been teaching things about the Holy Spirit, and those of you who have been around here a while, you've heard teaching on it, but I'm going to get into just dealing specifically with the gifts of the Spirit, not just these nine right here, but also the motivational gifts. I tell you, it's important to understand what your motivational gift is. Sometimes your ministry gift and your motivational gift are not the same, and it affects how you go about doing things. And when you understand that, I think it helps you to understand how the Lord's ministering through you. And I had somebody ask me about it the other day, and I was glad that I had worked this out in myself before to come to a conclusion, because somebody asked me, well, what's your, I know your ministry gift's teaching, but what's your motive gift? Now, teaching can also be a motive. Some people just teach because they want to teach. God called them to teach, and their motive's to teach. And so they get enough thrill out of just getting the lesson all together and finding 5,000 scriptures and making sure they all connect to each other and getting up here and presenting the case like a lawyer. And that's, God gave them that gift, and God motivated them in that way. But my motive is not to teach. My motive is to exhort. I want to, the message has got to do something to change your life. Just you learning it's not good enough for me. I mean, you know, I can put out all kind of information, but I want it to be something that changes your life. That's why I came in here today, this afternoon. I wasn't even sure I wanted to preach tonight, to tell you the truth. I was kind of dry. And I came in here and sat in the floor over in front of that pew for a good long while. And I looked up at that picture of Jesus talking to the... Well, the first thing the devil told me is I started praying sitting there on the... I started to get on my knees when I came in here, but my knees were tired, so I sat down in the floor. And the first thing the devil said was, you can't talk to God sitting like that. It's disrespectful. And I did. By that time, I looked up at that picture, and there's all them people sitting on the ground, Jesus teaching them. And I said, Lord, I don't think, if this is disrespectful, I'll get up, but I think this is a good position. I believe you taught a lot of people like this, and I'm going to sit down here, and you need to share some things with me. And then I walked for about 30 minutes doing laps around the sanctuary, prayed in tongues, about 25 of them, and the last five, the Lord began to say some things to me. And so I just had to go with what he said, because, see, I'm more interested. My motive is to get to take what God wants to say to this church tonight and get it in your heart and also in mine at the same time. I appreciate what Brother Chris said the other Sunday night when he was here. I just preach what I need to hear most of the time. He said, last Sunday night I burnt myself down to the stump and said it was so strong on me I didn't even want to listen to the tape. And I tell you, I preach a lot of messages like that. But see, when you understand your motive, and he begins to name the gifts of the Spirit, I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts, it says in verse 1. And, you know, ignorance, the root of that word is ignore. And you're ignorant. I say this a lot of times, but we always have people coming along and hadn't heard some things I said. Now, some of you are like, it's like that cartoon on the wall. Some of you can just repeat along with me. But ignorant is not the same as stupid. Ignorant just means you hadn't been taught. See, I'm ignorant concerning playing the piano. I'm not too dumb to learn, I don't think. I just never have applied myself to try to do it. And there's a lot of things. There's things we're all ignorant about that we don't know much about. When you're real ignorant about something, it pays to get somebody else to do it for you. And I'll tell you, when I had a flood down at my house, I could have went in there and tried to do it myself because I had the skills, but then it came to the Lord called to my attention, hey, there's the guy you know that this is what he does. He's an expert at this. Pick up your telephone. I don't have the number in my pocket right now. But call the guy that knows what he's doing, knows how to work with the insurance company, and make sure you get all the damage taken care of and all that. But ignorance comes from ignoring the study of it, and the churches are just full of folks that are ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit, because when you even bring it up, they get nervous and won't go home. They don't want it. I say, especially if you get down, you keep on naming them. Now, when you say word of wisdom and a word of knowledge, that doesn't bother them too bad because they don't know what that means anyway. They think, oh yeah, that's God gives some people wisdom and some people he gives knowledge. But I tell you, when you keep on getting down there and you get to talking about the things that they can't deny, they're supernatural, they don't want to talk about that. And so that's why they're still ignorant. But if you're ignorant of the gifts of God, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. Everything, God is good. God blesses us and gives us things because God is good and he loves us. And everything he gives us is a blessing to us. And when we shut certain things off and draw a line and say, no, God, I'm not going any further than this and you can't come any further than that, we're shutting ourselves out of the blessings of God in our life. But he goes on and he names some of these gifts, and I'm not going to get into them tonight teaching them, but we will later. But he talks about in verse 4, he said there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And he said there's differences of administrations. Administrations, in other words, the way the gift is administered is different, but it's the same Lord. And it said there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And you know, everybody doesn't minister like I do. Everybody doesn't minister like Brother Robbins does, and there's other people you could name that we don't minister like them. But God takes a personality and gives them a gift and says, take what I gave you and go do it the way you do it. I tell you, when you try to be somebody else, you get in trouble anyway. Every once in a while I see somebody ministering in a certain way and I think, boy, I'd like to be like that. But God don't want me to be like that. I heard a man say, a good preacher, I don't even remember who he was now, but he was a good preacher. He said when he first got called into the ministry, he said his hero was Jimmy Swaggart. And so he got all these Jimmy Swaggart tapes and watched the videos and went to his meetings. And he said, I had all his sermons memorized. I had the same hand gestures he did and everything. And he said, I'd go out there and preach him message. Jimmy would preach him and he'd get 100 people saved and another 100 filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd go out there and preach him and nobody would respond. He said, I did it just like him. And said, then the Lord said to me one day, hey, when I called you, I needed you. I already had a Jimmy Swaggart. I needed you. And so, see, we don't need to compare ourselves among ourselves, but what we do is we just take what we are and then the gift that God gives us, and gift means you didn't deserve it anyway, so you don't need to try to dignify yourself to, now that I got this, I'm something. You didn't deserve it anyway. Just take that gift of God and deliver it, because the administration of the gift is different from person to person. And it says there in verse 6, there's diversities of operations. But he says it's the same God that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And he goes on to name the gifts of the Spirit. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, faith by the same Spirit, gifts of healing by the same Spirit, working of miracles, another prophecy, another discerning of spirits, another diverse kind of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But it says, but all these worketh that one in the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. All the workings of the Holy Ghost came out from Jesus, and they're all part of him. Now, I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 4 where we were earlier. Just go on 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 4. And we're talking about, we had read down through verse 11 and 12. Actually, I think I just read verse 11. It says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. These are gifts that the Holy Spirit imparts to people for ministry. And, you know, one thing we try to get across to the church, that God didn't need any observers. He didn't need any bystanders. I'm not even too sure he needed any pew warmers. You know, if it gets cold in here, we'll just turn the heat up. But we're all supposed to be participants. When I read in Acts chapter 2 a couple of weeks ago, some of the fruit that begins to come when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And we saw in Acts chapter 2, you know, we talk about the initial evidence on the day of Pentecost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. We call that the initial evidence. Well, if there's initial evidence, there must be some other evidence. And you go on reading, if you get on past verse 4, and you'll find out down there that one thing it says, they gave themselves steadfastly to the apostles' doctrine. That means they put themselves under the teaching of the Word of God. Gave themselves steadfastly to it, to the teaching of the Word of God, and to the breaking of bread, and to fellowship. And now fellowship, one thing, if you're going to have fellowship, you come to church. But the other thing about fellowship is, when I studied that word the other day, I found out that it means participation. You not only come to church, but you participate. And you know, there's a lot of folks that get their name on the roll. It's not really members. Because, I mean, if you just go by who's got their name on the books, they might be members. But a member of my body is a working part of my body that's functioning with the rest of the body. And you know, a part of your body, when you think about your bloodstream, if you got a part of your body that's just receiving blood and not sending any back to the heart, you're in trouble. I tell you, I knew somebody. I got a friend that his wife, the way he really came into the full gospel, truth of the full gospel message, was his wife had this serious illness that the blood would go down in her legs, but those little valves in your blood vessels that's supposed to work to make it pump its way back up to your heart wasn't working, and the blood would go down, but it wouldn't come back through the veins to the heart. And then the vessels weren't stopped up. It was the fact that the little valves wasn't working, and the blood was just like this, up and down, instead of making a path. And I'll tell you, they thought they were going to lose her. They thought she was going to die. And the good news about her is he was happening to have his TV or radio on, and he heard a fella over in Charlotte by the name of Larry Allen at Rod of God Ministries that was having a healing meeting that Saturday night. And he said, I think I'll take my wife over there. He took her. She was healed. Well, that's what ought to happen at a healing meeting, isn't it? That was a gift of God that showed up. Now, here was somebody that loved God, sincere about God. He didn't know much about the Word of God. Based on what he knew, nobody in the family deserved to be healed. But God doesn't go by what you deserve. He operates by grace. But now he did say, to whom much is given, from them much is expected, right? And so I think he's got different expectations depending on what level we are in our knowledge of the Word of God. But now don't think, well, now the best thing for me to do then is quit learning because God won't expect so much of me. No, he said my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, so you lose coming or going. But God's grace will operate when he looks on your heart and sees your heart's right. Now, these five ministries here, I started telling about her to mention how in your physical body, if you got one part receiving blood and it's not coming back, that thing's going to die. And the same thing is true when you become a part of the local body of the church, the local body part of Christ, the church, and you become a part of that and you just want to receive and never send anything back, you're going to wither up. You're receiving, but you're not letting, there's not a complete path of flow. If you're a part of the body, hooked onto the body, you've got to be given back as well as taken. Now, it's the same thing in the body of Christ, the church, and that's, even in the, God, I think God just gave us a demonstration in our finances. He knows, like I do, when I teach the Word of God, I get to talking about money, especially how you can get some of it. Folks will wake up and pay attention. And so God said, let me just teach you a lesson here with your finances. But it works in other areas too. I give to you, but then you return back some and it keeps the flow working. And when you return back, I'll fix it and send it back to you in abundant supply. Well, that's what your heart does. It takes this old blood that you've already used all the oxygen out of and it's not much good for anything anymore and sends it back through the places it needs to go in your heart and reoxygenates it and gets it cleaned up through the filters and then sends it back out to you. That same thing gets that blood back. Now, if it get that old stale blood, it's already used the oxygen and the nutrients out of it and say, this is my blood. I'm keeping this blood. I'm on a fixed blood income. Well, it's going to die. It's not going to make it. It works financially. It works in every area if you'll let the things of God, the gifts of God, flow in your life. And God puts something in and you let it come on out and let it circulate, then you can keep the flow of life going. He gave gifts to men. I'm back to that. Verse 11. It says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now notice that every one of those apostles has got a semicolon after it. Prophets has got a semicolon after it. Evangelist has got a semicolon after it. And some pastors and teachers. No semicolon between there. Some say that the pastor and the teacher is always one office. I find by experience that's not true, but in a sense it is. Me and Brother Robbins are Siamese twins. I'm not going to teach something that's not flowing with him okay. I'm not going to come in here and do my own thing. He's the pastor, and the teaching comes under that. And it can be, I think it can be two people, but it has to work together. And he's always saying the preaching and the teaching go together. Well, they have to stay that way. And I get too far off track, I'm going to have to make some corrections to myself. Because if I find I'm getting off track, I find out I'm wrong anyway. But then we get on down and he's talking about what this is all about. These gifts to the church, every gift God gives to you individually or every gift God gives to the church is for a purpose. When God gave you the Holy Ghost, if I hope he did, if he didn't, you ought to receive tonight. But Jesus said, Jesus got baptized in the Spirit at the Jordan River. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went around jumping and shouting and speaking in tongues and acting strange. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with acting that way, but that wasn't the purpose. Who went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And then Jesus came into his own church in the city of Nazareth right after that. He read to him out of the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because." And there's a reason why Jesus had the Holy Spirit. He has sent me, he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and so forth. What was he saying? He said, the reason I have the Holy Spirit is to go around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, setting free all that. You know, that word healing is sozo. It's the same word for saved, healed, delivered. Whatever situation in life has you in a trap, if it's physical sickness, if it's bondage to something, and we got a call this evening from somebody that's got some demonic bondage, and they're looking for some help. Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus is the answer to that. He is the anointed one. Well, people say, well, can we do them any good? If you got Jesus in you, you can. You say, maybe I don't have enough Jesus. Well, you don't have just a little bit of Jesus. You got Jesus or you don't. And it seems to me like I read that greater is he that's in the world. It's he that's in you than he that's in the world. Some people think what I started to say. I mean, there's some people that wouldn't match their Jesus with the devil. They'd figure they'd lose. Well, he's in there. You'd better learn to let him out when the time comes. Greater is he that's in you. I have a friend, hadn't seen him in a while, but he's in the Four Square denomination, name of Mason Hughes, that he used to come pray. He prays with us when he's in town, but he's out and gone a lot. He's a missionary. But he retired, but he's still gone mission, doing mission work all the time. He went down to New Guinea, or was it New Zealand, one of them new places. Anyway, it's a place, it was in the jungles out there, and these people didn't speak English, and they were cannibals, and it was not a good situation. There had never been any Christian influence in this place, and him and his wife went in there to evangelize these people as missionaries. They found them two people that could speak just a little bit of what they call pidgin English, just enough to kind of translate for them, and went in, what he began to preach to those people was, greater, if you'll accept Jesus Christ and make him Lord of your life, you don't have to be afraid of the witch doctor anymore. He said the witch doctor controlled their lives. The witch doctor decided if they was going to die or live, basically, and if they were sick, they had to go see the witch doctor. But it was out of fear. You know, the devil holds people through fear. God holds people through love. And love and fear are the opposite. Perfect love will cast out fear. I tell you, when you get God in you, is that not perfect love? It'll cast out fear. And he taught those people, you don't have to be afraid of the witch doctor anymore, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They stayed there for 24 years. And when they left there, they were in that country, there were 400 churches of just the Four Square denomination, never mind others that had come in. Just from that work they started 24 years later, by getting people set free from their fear of the witch doctor and the things of the devil, and understanding that Jesus is a greater power. And I tell you, God so loved the world, he gave his son. And then the next best thing he had was the Holy Ghost. He already gave you a third of himself. He said, you own another third? I'll let you have the Holy Ghost now. Well, I tell you, when you got that, you're full of God. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He gave these ministry gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, for what purpose? Verse 12. See, God does things for a purpose. For the perfecting, that word perfecting means, are the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. To edify means to build up and to make strong. He gave the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints, that's you, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. So what are you doing? You know, you're sitting here tonight, what's your purpose? I told you a while ago what my purpose in teaching is. I want to exhort you, give you something that's going to change you and equip you, really. And what's your purpose? Your purpose is not just coming in here to get your needs met. Now, God does that, and thank God for it. And when you need it, come get it, because you can't really be a blessing to somebody else when your own life is in such disorder and in such a mess. So you do come to feed yourself and strengthen yourself and get yourself a little bit of blessing. But the reason you do it is not so you can go home and say, oh, I got a blessing. This is my blessing. No, you're born to be blessed, but because you're born to be a blessing, right? You're born to be blessed because you're born to be a blessing. And so what the church is all about is we coming in here to get ourselves equipped. We in school, really. We in combat school. If we're going to take this battle to the devil, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Right? The Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives, to preach recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Jesus of Nazareth defines, that was before he was Jesus the Christ. He became Jesus the Christ when God anointed him with that power. Before that, he was basically, even though he was the Son of God, before that anointing came, he was functioning as a man, really. And he always did, but he was a man just like a Christian is supposed to be today. He was a man with the power of God on the inside of him. And the love of God in his heart, because when you get saved, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And if you got the love of God in your heart and the power of God inside of your being, I'll tell you what, you can't hardly help but want to do things to change people's lives and get them out of the bondage they're in, right? Fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, in verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, when it says come into the unity of the faith, I doubt if we all going to ever get our minds together and agree on every little single point of doctrine and every little issue. But we can be in one accord about who Jesus is and what he's about. And we can also be in agreement that we're not going to fuss and argue about little nitpicking things that we do see a little bit different point of view on, right? And of the knowledge of the Son of God. Well, I tell you, if you want to get some knowledge of the Son of God, you have to get in the book. That's where you learn about Jesus. And I made that comment to somebody today about and checking how we do things and what our motivation and all is, we need to keep our focus on Jesus, and we have to do that by spending some time in the Word of God. I tell you, we need to read the epistles and study the epistles a lot to find out how to live the Christian life, but we also need to spend some time in the Gospels to keep our focus on what would Jesus do. And the way you find out what would Jesus do is read what he did, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he never changes. And if you find him doing something a couple thousand years ago, he's still doing that today. Now, he used different methods. I mean, just because he spit on his finger and stuck it in a deaf man's ear and says, Ephatha, be open, doesn't mean every deaf man gets ministered to exactly like that. But I'll tell you what it does mean. It means every deaf man gets ministered to that God brings in our path, in the church's path, and is ready to receive ministry. It means we don't just pass them by because we're not concerned, and or either we're not concerned or we don't think we have enough power. You know, the big two questions people have about God when they have problems in their life is, number one, whether or not he has the power, and most people think God has the power, and number two, whether or not he's willing. That one guy said to Jesus, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me whole. He had leprosy. Jesus put his hands on him and said, be whole. So the question is, God have enough power, and is God willing? But you know, that question is not just for God. That same question applies to us. Do we have enough power, and are we willing? That'll come up, you know, a situation that needs to be taken care of. And a lot of times we don't, even though intellectually we've taught ourselves that we got all the power resident in us, but when the situation comes up, we'll kind of back off, because really deep down inside, we're not sure we got the power. But see, it's not you going to heal them anyway, is it? I mean, he didn't say, you go out and heal the sick. He just said, you put your hands on them and I'll heal them. He said, elders of the church, anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord will raise them up. And so I don't have to worry about how much power I have, but what I really need is a faith connection that the power of God will work through me because he said it would. And you know, it's, once again, I remind you, it's a gift, you know. I thank God these teenagers show up on Wednesday night. I tell you, they're soaking up some information that's going to do them some good. And it won't just help them when they when they get older, it'll help them get through school, and it'll help them face battles they're fighting. And sometimes, even if they look like they're snoozing a little bit, they're getting it by osmosis anyway. They're better off here than they are home sleeping in front of television. I mean, most everybody thinks that you go to sleep in front of television and some old wicked evil program on, and them evil spirits will creep out of the television and get into your sleeping brain. Well, I'll tell you what, if the greater power is God, that praise God, come on to church. You know, if you can't keep your eyes, you ought to keep your eyes open, but if you can't, of course, now the teenagers are not all the sleepers. Y'all know that, don't you? And I didn't. But I tell you, you're better off in church and letting, if you get something by osmosis, if it's the only way you can get it. Well, praise God, come and get it, right? Till we all come in the unity of the faith, that's verse 13, and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the anointed one, Christ and his anointing. And it says in verse 14 that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, it says here the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry and edifying the body of Christ till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and so forth, and the stature of the fullness of Christ. And it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Now, you know, there is a scripture where Jesus said, except you become as little children, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, there, you got to do some, let the Holy Ghost do some revealing to you, because some people think, well, that means I've become childlike, And I just believe whatever anybody tells me. And some people, they read that scripture, and that's what they think. Well, and see, sometimes the fivefold ministry will come along, particularly the office of the pastor, and will warn folks about some things. Now, you know, boy, it doesn't seem to me like it's been as long ago when 1988 was here. But some of these teenagers here tonight were probably almost wearing diapers when I remember. It seemed to me like it was about 3 weeks ago, when the guy wrote the book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Is Going to Come Back in 88. Right? You know, there were people all over the place. I'm talking about in faith churches, word churches. They were people that were selling their houses and having their dog put to sleep and all this stuff because this man wrote a book and said Jesus is coming back in 88. And you know what our pastor told us? Because most of our people were settled in the Word of God, they didn't even have to be told. But said, don't go for that. Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 24 that there's going to be many come and say, I'm the Christ. And about all these false prophets is going to come and say, oh, he's out in the desert. And Jesus said, don't go look. When I come, you'll know it. but you see, that's the growing up part of it. God wants us maturing as Christians. We receive the things of faith. Now, faith is what the Word of God says. Faith is not what some man says. Faith is what the Bible says. When the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Praise God. I accept that like a newborn infant would. I just believe that. Somebody said, well, let's reason this out and see if we can understand this. I said, I don't need no reasoning. I know that I know that I know. Now, that's my childlike faith. But then when somebody comes along and says, well, you know, we got a new revelation over at our church that when Jesus comes, if you don't have on purple and green striped underwear, you can't go. And our church is selling purple and green striped underwear, by the way. Would you like to buy a gross of it? And you said, I'm not childish enough to go for that. I'm mature in that area. Why? Because we just departed from the Word of God. See, when you get away from the Word of God, get mature. And he goes on in there, you know, part of this growing up thing is you won't go for every wind of doctrine, being blown around with everything somebody's telling you. You get yourself rooted and grounded and settled in the Word of God, and don't depart from that. Don't get out past the Word. Don't stop short of the Word, but don't get out past the Word either. I've heard preachers talk about dealing with somebody that had one of these new hot revelations and said, well, show me that in the Bible. And they'd say, oh, we've gone beyond that. I'll tell you what, you done gone too far, right? Amen. Thank God for the gifts of the fivefold ministry, all of them, that perfect the saints, that grow us up in the things of God. We don't go for just every old wind of doctrine. And I'm just reminding you of a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to close. 1 Timothy 4 and 14, I've used these in the past. He told Timothy, neglect not the gift of God that's in you. I'm talking tonight about when Jesus said, when I go to the Father, I'm going to send you the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we've seen about the gifts of the Spirit, and we've seen about the ministry gifts. These are all operations of the Holy Spirit, and they're given to us as a blessing, as a gift from God, as a gratuity. We don't deserve it. We didn't have to do anything to own it, earn it. God gives it to us. And then in 2 Timothy 1 and 6, Paul told Timothy, after he told him in the first letter to stir up, to not neglect the gift, he said in the second letter, stir up the gift that's in you. So not only do you just, you keep feeding that gift, but I tell you, every once in a while, you got to get the poker in there and stir it up and keep that thing working. You know, it kind of stirs me up when I get up here and somebody says, carry on.
Carry on.
Amen. Well, there's things we can do. And the Bible talks about the church. The reason we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together is we see the day approaching. Is that what it amounts to? Is we got to keep coming together and keeping each other stirred up.
Amen.
You take a fire. You know those things about Timothy and the gift? Neglect not the gift. I taught on that when I taught on the fire of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. If you neglect the fire, it'll go out. You have to keep putting wood on it or coal or whatever the fuel is. Then he told him to stir it up. Well, the same thing when it starts getting covered with ashes and so forth, you have to stir a fire up. And you know, another thing about a fire is you cannot build a fire with one log. You ever tried that? Get one log and try to have a fire. You, even if you get some kindling and get that one fire, one log burning, it'll go out. But get you two logs and put them together and maybe stack a third one on top and then put some kindling under there and get a little fire going, and now you got a fire. Same thing, you can have a charcoal grill burning and you can have a handful of coals in there burning and they'll do great. They'll burn till they completely consume themselves and they'll cook your hamburger. But then you get in there and separate those things and move them all out away from each other and they'll all go out. And see, that's the thing about the church. We got to keep coming together and keeping each other fired up, right? Keep telling me to carry on, hallelujah. Thank you for that song, Margaret. And I'll just give you, I'll just quote for you a scripture as we close. But you know, Jesus said over in Luke's gospel, he said, how much more will the heavenly Father, what's the next word?
Give.
How much more will the Heavenly Father give? We're talking about Jesus said, when I go ascend to heaven, I'm going to send you the gift of the Holy Ghost. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that what? Ask Him. Amen. And so it's a gift of God. And I'll tell you what, it's just like receiving salvation. When you receive the Lord Jesus, you ask. You say, you invite Jesus to come into your life. You do that by confessing Him as your Lord and by believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and that He is the Son of God. And the same thing then with that other great blessing that God has for us, that other great gift, is we ask, we desire, we see the benefits. We know that we need the power of God. That's part of it. How much you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you. You need the power of God in your life. You need the blessing of the ministry gifts. You need the blessing of the gifts of the Spirit operating in your life for your benefit, but mostly to operate through your life to bless and benefit other people. Amen? How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? Come and dine, the Master's calling. Come and dine. You can feed at Jesus' table all the time. He that fed the multitude turned the waters into wine. To the hungry biddeth now. Come and dine. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet.
We appreciate your support. We appreciate you listening. And also, we're always happy to hear from you. Let us know that folks are out there listening and being helped by the ministry. So until next time, this is Jim Howard reminding you that Matthew 6:33 says, seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.